opportunity to introduce themselves, three minutes team, and then we'll continue the rest of the meeting. Thank you.
Major reduction. reductions in budgets overall, with a focus on personnel. Obviously, at that stage already, we have to plan what is that we can do from our side to make sure that our budget remain sustainable. So we created certain committees in our office to deal with personnel. At any stage, when a post goes vacant, we will carefully reconsider each of the positions before we advertise it, and that resulted us in having the 34 million rand unspent that's now going back to the provincial issue, back into the revenue fund. That is to make sure that we've got a sustainable budget. I mean, the minister spoke about the fiscal reductions amounting to 22 billion rand for the MTF in his speech, and if you do the calculations, you will see that a substantial amount of that relates to this vote. In fact, we already got up to preliminary allocation letters, which are some substantial reductions in the Department of Appeals. So obviously, we have to prepare for that. We can't just sit still while we know that there's a major issue that we need to deal with, and one of the issues that we have to deal with, that was to deal with the personnel. So, Chair, overall, and then the other page that deals with, you know, shifts between programs, you know, and across the various components. Other than that, Chair, there's nothing in this adjustments estimate. You know, there's those factors that are actually highlighted, and most of them are really of a technical nature. So, from a program perspective, program 4, we just received a 37 million, 50 million VAT, 9 million local ICT infrastructure, that's already 24 million, and then a small adjustment of 3 million, and then all the other programs see a reduction in the allocation for this year, mainly as a result of the personnel provisions and adjustments that we have to do as a vote to make sure, you know, that we are sustainable at least up until the end of March, and also to lay a good basis for what needs to come from the people. So, Chair, I think that is the context of this vote. So we'll be open for any questions and comments. Thanks.
Thank you for the context. This is the Director General. We are for you. Our time is very limited, so please give the answers to the shortest bit as you go along. Our members, I'm going to open up. We're going to go page by page, but if there's no pages, no sort of questions on the pages, then we'll just skip to the next page. So if you want to do a question on page 1, and only one on page 3, and then one on page 7, just to ask it in that format, so we can just move forward, because as I said, we now go to the meeting statements. Thank you very much. Open to the members. I see Member Dartmoor.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks also to the Premier and the DG for some context. You know, I think the most worrying figure is, and the DG talks about 34 million, but on page 2, when one looks at the compensation employees, it's like 39,201,000. Maybe you just want to explain the variance of 3 and then the 35, you know. But I think while, you know, we all appreciate the fact that there is a national indication around reducing the cost of the wage bill, I think we really need some more detail in regard to this. Does this mean, like, in this financial year, this is what I would like to ask, in this particular financial year, how many positions were vacant, how many positions have we actually decided to fill, and by returning this money to the provincial revenue fund, how many posts are we then not filling? What is the major impact on service delivery within the Department of the Premier? Where do most of these posts come from? That's a general question. Chair, are you suggesting that we ask all of those questions?
Let's continue. Yeah. You can ask more questions.
Okay. So I think that's a big concern, and that's, I think, what, you know, for us makes us very reluctant to support an adjustment like this. I would then, just in regard to the unavoidable expenditure directive that has come in regard to the VAT, I presume the license fees that we are paying to Microsoft covers the whole province, and could you just confirm the exact amount? It must be about, I think it is around about 100 million. And can I just ask, and maybe the CEO can help, I mean, what is the view? Are we bound into this software, you know, everyone talks about open source and so on. Are we really not able to, I mean, is this licensing with Microsoft, I mean, is it something we looked at? Are we really bound by this? Is there no way that we can actually say what we want? I think you say that we export this, are we, do we have to go with Microsoft? That's really the question I'd like to ask. And then on page 2, under non-profit institutions, the main appropriation was 50.9 million. And I see there's a shift of 5 million. Could one just give us a breakdown of that 5 million? Is it only related to the libraries, or could we have a sense of what that extra 5 million under non-profit institutions amounts to? And then on page 7, the chairperson, there's a whole lot of basically allocations from departments, other departments, shifting of funds back to this department. Could you just give us a sense of the 3 million vote shifted from the education vote? Why has that become necessary at this stage of the year in regard to these ICT activities in terms of the WC, the operations plan? Was this not anticipated? Why is this just happening now? And similarly, it's a huge amount from cultural affairs and sport, 10 million, in regard to project implementation services, etc. Could we just have a sense as to what's going to cost that amount of money? And then, in regard to the transfer of 2.5 million from community safety to that department of the Premier, what software system are we actually talking about? Which safety project is this linked to the Premier's announcement of the safety plan, or these other projects? And isn't there an existing software system that has been developed already for safety projects? Why the additional expenditure that we require? I think, Chair, those are the only questions for now. Thank you.
Happy member that one. Some of the questions are also there, but that's just the initial question and a lot of additional discussion.
There might possibly be follow-up questions depending on the answer here.
Okay, thank you. Allow that question to respond.
Chair, I'm going to ask Dickus to deal with the issue of the workshop in question page 2 and highlighting the questions in 34 and 39, and then may also talk about the impact. And then the licensing cost, if we can deal with all the issues relating to education one, and then cultural affairs, and then software and program, and we need also to actually come into that process. But Chair, as I highlighted in the beginning, I mean, on the wage law issue, I mean, we've institutionalized the entire process of looking at each post before we actually advertise it. So we can give you the details of how we are which posts have come up for advert, you know, why have we gone to a particular group. And I'm going to talk about we and its entire excerpt of RP that's part of that process. It's also a way of actually looking at our full package of resources and deciding which ones are more important than the others from an operational perspective.
On the licensing portfolio, we've always explored the open source environment and we actually do use it where it's appropriate. But in the case of the Microsoft license, it's primarily for the productivity suites of all our employees use. We've got about 24,500 of it that are connected to our network. It's to cover the operating systems of the machines, all the antivirus software, any anti-ransomware mechanisms that we've got put into it. It covers the management of the entire network from an access point of view, management of the account management, etc. So it's just more than a productivity suite. When we embarked on this, and even up to 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we really looked at the other alternatives, and there isn't really alternatives for an organization of that size. There just isn't. The other thing is we are not divorced from national as well. All the documentation from national comes into it in the Microsoft format. If we use any other format, as we've tried it before, then there's all sorts of compatibility issues and everything that comes with it. So, and the same thing with local government. So everybody's kind of using the same thing. So these are really alternatives. However, we did negotiate, every 3 years, we did negotiate Microsoft down. We actually negotiated them down in dollar terms. But the problem with it is the exchange rate, that's a big issue. And of course, the VAT that is now applicable on the front panel. Those are the two factors that would really put a huge pressure on software devices in particular. As far as the 9 million infrastructure that we have, and that was primarily to strengthen our firewalls and our security space against the ever-increasing cyber attacks and cyber terrorism and cyber activity and untoward ransomware and all sorts of other things that are hitting the whole country. We're not immune from it. It's just that we had planned on in advance. We did go through the secret procurement process, but it will be delayed until we have a new financial year as opposed to the old financial and then there was some other bits of infrastructure that we could provide secret for hospitals and that sort of stuff. But it wasn't a lot of time, and therefore we had to go and plans for that. When it comes to the transfer of funds from various programs, we plan. We've got an ICT planning process, we've planned it all with departments, but sometimes departments decide to add more than what we have in our base on, they contribute. This is a contribution to the project that they think is really important, over and above what has been allocated. So in the case of community safety, that was in fact not for a new system, but to strengthen the current systems and expand the current system. That's a system for the CPS, maybe watches, and so forth and so on. Then we will give you a whole wonderful presentation as well. They've done. The one from education was to strengthen their systems as well. So they put in on the intelligence system and all the other stuff that goes. We've got a relation with them. We pay for some, they contribute to the others, and depending how far they want to go with the system. And my dear colleague, esteemed colleague, will talk about the table in the form of the CCS.
Just to
make
it to life, the cat moment. I just want to add what Bobby said. Our ICT planning process will be commitment at the end of the financial year, or the beginning of the current financial year. So in terms of the DCAT funding, this commitment was already made in April, but the transfer is in that sense. The allocation was 4 million rand for change management for the provincial DCMMI funding implementation. Over and above that, 6.2 million rand for CR. So the CR funds, we've got contracts with transversal ICT contracts in secret, and the departments make use of those contracts and resources of implementation. So some of the money went towards the implementation, project implementation. Some of it went to the open text product that we use, the functions and services for the service provider there, and then some new capabilities that we added on behalf of the department. And the final allocation amount is for the business analysts that's on the property structure. That has to be more for the Department of Culture and Business Force.
Thank you. Okay, I just got a few questions myself. Just on the origin of the VAT, is it something that the Auditor General picked up as an announcement in the budget statement? Where does it originate from? Why don't you just get clarity of that? And then on page 4, this was regards to 1.4 departmental strategy due to the delays of the contract installation of TV cameras. The project will only be rolled out next financial. What was the reason for the delay? And then on page, under 4.4, on page number 4.4, the reprioritization, sorry, wasn't that one, was public, 4.4, connected government civil services,
project, the modernization program. And then on the 5.5 on page 6, the reprioritization of funding for allocated expenditures from the litigation method. Just what various litigation methods are looking at? You can share that with the committee on the 5.5 page 6. Thank you. Members, any more questions from the committee? Governor Cabell, Member Dalmo, and Member Dalmo.
Chair, just in regard to the 39 million and the compensation, I just wanted to know, because I did ask which posts, and there was an explanation by the CFO about the process of whether to appoint or not, but could we just get a sense of what are the priority posts that will still be filled in this in the remainder of the financial year? Because 39 of the 35 has been returned now to the provincial revenue fund. What amount has been held back to full posts, and which posts are those? That's what I'd like to ask. And then in regard to the Microsoft, I presume from the response from Mr. Fraser, with the 14 million or so, it's about 100 million. Is that the right? So what is that based on? Is that based on the number of users? Could you just give us a bit of a breakdown? You mentioned something like 24,000 people in the administration. So is it a certain amount per user? How is this actually calculated?
Is there any further questions, members?
It depends on the further responses, whether there will be further questions. I think you've kind of put me in a box here.
I'm not putting anyone in the box. Thank you. The department?
Chief, on the personnel budget, we've got about total budget at the moment, 680 million, reduced obviously from 658 million. And if you look at our spending later on in the book, you'll see how much money we've got available to spend on for the end of the year on personnel. What we can do from our side is
actually best for ease of reference that refer that member to the page.
Okay. If you go to the page that deals with the expenditure for the first 6 months, actually expenditure that is on page number 9, you'll see that the one deals with the actual expenditure for 1890, and then page number 8 deals with the preliminary expenditure for 1920. So you will see, Chair, that we have got a total, or we've adjusted, and that means it's around table 1.3. So adjusted total is 680, and the projected payments for the remainder of the year is 316 million. We've spent so far 302 million rand on personnel. So effectively, the 316 allows us to pay our current staff, that is there. And then we've got a list of people that we've appointed, or that we've agreed to, that needs to appoint, that will be appointed for the remainder of this year, and obviously also in the next year. We can provide that list to the committee. I'm glad to the committee. And I mean, in that chair, I also put the point out that we've gone through the entire request from all the managers. And naturally, given our financial constraints, we will approve all the posts. I can actually provide this to the committee. So you can see which posts have become vacant, which posts have been considered, and which posts have we actually approved on fulfilling. So that's the question that we know about. Chair, on your own question in relation to the VAT, that matter has not been picked up by the Auditor General. SARS, by its very nature, issues tax directives throughout the year, if a matter comes up, and this is a particular tax that has only been issued in May, and that was obviously after we tabled on the main budget. So any foreign payment in relation to licenses has now become on that. Also, effectively, if it cost you 100 million previously, 15 million has now been added to that on that. Chair, on the questions that we've raised around the shifts, particularly on 4.4, and also on 5.5, we're just going to ask all of you to respond to that. And then Lucas, on the issue around key litigation matters, and then I think the questions of Member done more. We will provide a written response on the number of posts. And then we'll be able to talk about the number of users related to the Microsoft license in your response.
Thank you. So the Microsoft licensing model is very complex. But I'm going to divide it and simplify it as much as possible. We've got 24,500 workstations across hospitals and departments all over the place. And we've got roughly 28,500 users that vary in what they require. But those are the numbers that everything is based on. For that, we look at two elements, key elements. The one is the Office Productivity Suite. That's Word and Excel, PowerPoint, and all the other stuff that goes with it. As well as Exchange, which is the calendar, email, and all the other stuff. And there's a different model for the way that works. And we've also got a development space, cloud systems. So the development languages that we use, and there's also database platforms that we work by for those licenses. So it varies. We can give you a full breakdown of what we actually pay, if everything is not sorted out there, the problem. But also included is also for those 28,500 users and the workstations, security elements, access to the network, and as I mentioned earlier, antivirus software, etc. If we were to buy the different pieces from different organizations, if that were possible, we would be sitting in a situation prior to migration that would actually cost us more. As far as the, you would like to know the reasons for the sponsor the public work cases for the delay, it's actually really simple. We work very closely with them with all the building projects. Whether it's modernization or whether it's new buildings coming up, refurbishment of new buildings, where very often the building is stripped down and it is rebuilt, including the IT infrastructure. So then the IT infrastructure includes scaling, network equipment, and so forth and so on. What happens very often is that the procurement of those service providers is a problem because you go through the procurement process and there are delays in that. And then when the service provider has been appointed, the actual execution of the work sometimes is delayed for a whole variety of reasons. And those are two main reasons why these are being delayed Those are the main reasons why these projects are delayed. So the carrier contact place until the system point in the execution of the building work has reached. And if it doesn't reach it by the time in the financial year, we are not able to spend that money. Nor can we install the equipment, nor can we keep the commission, and so forth and so on.
Yes, on the litigation matters, I think it's important just to say that we have a very small budget for external legal costs. I think I've said in this committee before that we don't like spending money. Externally, we like to keep things in-house as far as possible. But obviously, litigation is one of those things that sometimes there's a lot of litigation and sometimes there's not. In the first 7 months of this year, we had to continue quite a few litigation matters, and that gave rise to an increased cost. I don't have the exact detail, but I know, for example, there were two major matters. I think there were a few still battled in the Supreme Court of Appeal on the claim by the former CEO of the PEC. If you wish, we could provide you with a breakdown of those matters and the cost of that.
Sir,
sure,
just to note that on page 4, the 500,000 for the CCTV cameras, those delays to the function of the contractor, the department of the premier minister. So what happens is that security risk management is a local mandate executed by the Department of Community Safety. The security risk assessment has pointed to the requirement for us to have CCTV cameras installed at different service points. But we have been informed by the Department of Community Safety, on which we are dependent for the contractor to deliver, that they had to appoint a new contractor, and therefore they were deciding that. I think that's from the last measure.
Thank you very much for that. The reason particularly for this question was that one can understand the delay, but obviously now you're funding something else. So next year you have to find money if this project will go ahead to fund this project as well. So that I would like to apply for. You can be in this place, now there's no money to fund these projects again. So that's the reason. Member, any other questions from the Roger Park presentation. I'm going everywhere.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, at the beginning, the DG indicated, I'm not sure if this committee formally congratulates the DG Evans appointment.
Actually, not the working on you.
I think that's your job. I think the opposition would like to propose as the chairperson the DG. But the DG mentioned that they have received initial indications for the allocation. Can you just give us a sense? Because in the meeting that we had yesterday, when we asked the Treasury, and I just want to make sure that I'm right, they indicated that there were national amounts indicated where they were going to have to be saving out of it or share, but there was no indication as to the province as a whole. So when you said at the beginning that you've already received indications, what indications are you saying? Initial indications from provincial treasury that so can I just ask them if, for instance, we're dealing with an appropriation of one and a half billion, are you able to share with us what your initial indication is in regard to the next financial year? Is it a lot less than that amount, or are these simply initial indications? I just want to get a sense as to, because we didn't get that from the meeting of the Treasury yesterday.
Yeah.
Chair, I listened to the presentation that the Treasury made yesterday. In that own presentation, they mentioned to the committee that the initial indications from national was a reduction in the equitable share of 5, 6, 7% of the NPN. So those amounts obviously had to be applied on the equitable share portion in respect of all the departments as a preliminary allocation for next year. That didn't give back obviously the adjustments estimate, but in our preliminary planning work for our budget that will only be tabled next year, those were the preliminary indications, and remember those proposed reductions comes from the medium-term budget statement that the National Minister of Finance has tabled as an indication. So that's the response given the way that we are funded. The final allocation will only obviously happen in February, March next year, and that also depends on which way the national budget will go, given our dependence on it. But from a planning perspective, we had to consider, you know, the 5, 6, and 7% reductions, and obviously look at, you know, which programs do we intend either increasing, you know, from a prioritization perspective, which programs will be stopped, also considering the priorities of government, which ones will be maintained, and particularly where are the spaces for thinking innovatively around our service delivery mandate, so it's doing more with less, but also doing the stuff. So that's the background to that.
Thank you very much for that response. And yes, on behalf of the Standing Committee on the Premier and the Digital Mandate, we would like to formally welcome the Director General of the Western Cape, Mr. Malila, and wish you well for the next term at least. And we know that experience in the Treasury will definitely assist the province when it comes to cost cutting. However, we need service delivery as well. I know this is probably one of the most difficult jobs to do in the current environment, and the Premier as well as the rest of the team. We are going through a difficult time, and it's not going to get easy, unfortunately. That service costs are way too low, and a lot of factors that are not beyond the control of anyone in this province and any other province for that matter. We received, I think, for the first time in the last bargaining, at least, the minutes of the NCOP at the deliberation of all that appropriation. In every province, I think Bao and Malanga, which had a Maloja corridor as their main reason, but every province complains about that little share. Every single province. And actually, for the first time, having traveled through the Free State over many years, I can actually understand their concern. Everybody drives through that the infrastructure, not traffic, falling apart, not because of the province alone, but simply because everybody drives through the Free State. They go, okay, Northern Cape coming from Joburg to the Eastern Cape, depending if you go by KZN or also to the Vista, and the truck infrastructure, I mean the road infrastructure. So I can now fully understand how the East State, the Vista is having a problem, because simply a lot of the country drives through the Vista. So the equitable share is under pressure, and cutting that will have a massive impact on all provinces. So we should do that under tough circumstances, and the previous well and the rest of your team. We hope that you will continue with service delivery, and wishing you all the best. Thank you for coming to this committee. Thank you for always being willing to be held accountable, because that's what we have to always say, people, that Parliament, the performance is engine room of Parliament. This is where the magic happens. So thank you for always coming and bringing your strong team of people that can answer questions. Wishing you a great festive season, drive safe, and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from all of us to this committee. We do thank you very much, and Godspeed.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much. This will be easy. Thank you. I'll excuse the 3 minutes team, and then members will just stay behind for the members' questions.
Management
we want a breakdown of that 1 million and a project plan for that.
What are you going to spend the 1 million on in the project plan? I think that's clear.
And it's paying for the other amount of things.
Talking about the 2 million, you said fund competency based assessment on the.
Yes.
What are you, what is the competency?
The money spends
on
the project plan.
Okay, and then for the other amount?
Then the 3.759,000.
Okay.
That's again the funding of ICT activities. It's very broad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And then that big amount of 10 million from cultural affairs. Also, breakdown of that expenditure and the project plan.
Breakdown of the project plan for the change management business and the project implementation. Okay. Make sense? Anything else, members? Thank you, members. We support that. And now we go to the standing committee. So, we need to make a decision on the standing committee. I'm going to read out a few options, but we'll ask the members straight up. Members are supportive of this vote. Support. Support. Member Dutton?
Chair, we would like to report our objection to this particular vote, particularly in regard to the compensation of employees and the failure to fill the posts.
Member Dutton, by the way, there's an important failure to vote, and there was a cost of interest.
Well, I don't think that there was an adequate search if you really wanted to know. I don't think there was an adequate explanation. We will be given. Told that we'll be given a breakdown of that, but we have serious concerns of returning that amount of money to the provincial revenue fund and possibly impact on service delivery. We are concerned and therefore we cannot support this.
Okay, Member Chuckle.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. I wanted to support the implementation of the issues that have been identified in terms of lack of implementation of the funding.
Okay, thank you. So, member, we will support that, and we will note Member Dugmore's minority view that they noted the deliberations.
And if we oppose the objection to the.
Oh, is it that you're not supporting?
Yes,
not supporting. Excellent. Okay. That will be duly noted in a minute. So, sorry. Okay, so that we will read as follows: the draft report of the Standing Committee on the Premier in Constitutional Matter on Book 1 in the schedule to the Western Cape Adjustments Appropriations, Bill 6, dated 27th of November. The Standing Committee reports that it concludes its deliberations on Book 1 in the schedule to the Western Cape Appropriations, Bill B6, 2019. It refers to the Standing Committee in terms of Rule 188 and that it